This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. Welcome to your August 7th, 2026. You're listening to 96.9. I apologize. Had to take a couple of days off. Got a bit of a summer cold. Summer colds are the worst. You know that? So if you hear me kind of squeaking or sounding like a prepubescent girl, that kind of explains it. So apologies in advance. Feeling a lot better and really missed you guys. So we've got a bunch we want to talk about this morning. If you want to be part of the show, make sure you call in 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. So a police chase and domestic assault and a standoff come to a peaceful end with a suspect behind bars this morning. What cops are saying about it. A body was found in Love County. The victim had been shot four times and the body burned. This morning, investigators have identified that victim. Three people are recovering after a stabbing in Southwest Oklahoma City apartment complex. Two Ingalls firefighters remain in critical condition this morning after their fire truck rolled several times during a crash. A former DHS employee is behind bars this morning after police say he stole more than $2 million from a program that helps low-income Oklahomans pay their utility bills. What happens next with that guy? A judge will now decide who's responsible for transporting inmates from the Oklahoma County Jail to the courthouse. And speaking of the jail, would you support a sales tax to fund it? We'll be taking your calls and comments on that one at 405-608-4377. Plus, it's First Responder Friday. Last weekend, a gruesome discovery in Pottawatomie County. Sheriff Freeland Wood will be joining us live with the latest on that investigation. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. An Oklahoma City police chase ended with an officer-involved shooting and an hour-long standoff last night in northeast Oklahoma City. Police say officers were called to a domestic dispute near Britton and Westminster after a man reportedly pulled a gun. When officers arrived, investigators say the suspect tried to run them over and then took off, leading police on a chase that ended when he crashed into a building. Officers fired as he got out of the car, but the suspect climbed back inside before eventually surrendering peacefully. He was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. No officers were injured. Authorities say a body found burned in a field in Love County has been identified as a missing man from Dallas. Firefighters discovered the remains while responding to a grass fire near Highway 32 last week. Investigators say the victim was identified through his tattoos, and Oklahoma medical examiner has determined that he had been shot four times in the chest and his body was burned. Authorities do not believe the man was killed where he was found. The Love County Sheriff's Office and the Dallas Police Homicide Unit are now working together to try to determine who is responsible and what led to the killing. Well, three people are recovering this morning after a stabbing in Southwest Oklahoma City apartment complex early Thursday morning. Police called to the complex early on Northwest 59th Street and May, just after midnight, where they found three victims suffering from stab wounds following what investigators describe as a domestic dispute. All three were taken to the hospital. Their conditions have not yet been released and no arrests have been made as the investigation continues. Well, a 63-year-old man is in Oklahoma County Jail after police say he stabbed another man during an argument in northeast Oklahoma City. Officers were called to the home near Northeast 23rd and Creston, where they found the 39-year-old victim with life-threatening stab wounds to the abdomen. The victim survived after undergoing emergency surgery. Investigators say witness statements and surveillance technology helped to identify the suspect, who has a criminal history in Illinois and Nevada. He's been arrested on complaints of felony assault and maiming. Two Ingalls firefighters remain in critical condition after their fire truck rolled several times during a crash in Payne County. Investigators say the tanker blew a front tire while traveling on Highway 51, sending the fully loaded truck off the road, down an embankment, and into a wooded area. Both firefighters became trapped inside. One was freed with the help of a passing motorist, while the other was rescued by Stillwater Fire Department. Both were rushed to a Tulsa trauma center where they were awake and alert when they left the scene. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol is investigating the crash. Well, two Oklahoma men are dead after a fiery crash involving a horse trailer and a semi along the Turner Turnpike near Sepulpa. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says 52-year-old Jamie Earp and his 22-year-old son Tucker were returning home from the All-Star Team Roping Finals at Lazy E when the pickup truck left the roadway and slammed into a parked semi on the shoulder of the road. Both vehicles caught fire, killing the father and son. At least one horse also died, but a good Samaritan passing by helped to rescue the others. The semi-driver was injured, and the crash remains under investigation. Oklahoma Highway Patrol is searching for a driver involved in a deadly hit-and-run that killed a Stillwater woman in Norman. Troopers say 54-year-old LaDonna Marcel Hillier was walking across the southbound lanes of I-35 near South Robinson Avenue when she was struck by a vehicle. She died at the scene. Investigators have not yet identified the driver of the vehicle involved and are asking for anyone with information about the crash to contact Oklahoma Highway Patrol. A southern Oklahoma rancher who once appeared on the TV show Ultimate Cowboy Showdown is headed to prison after admitting to a brutal attack on an elderly Kiowa County man. Ethan Treadwell was sentenced to 25 years after pleading guilty to maiming and must serve at least 10 years in prison. Prosecutors say the attack happened during a dispute over money on a rural Kiowa County road, leaving the 73-year-old victim with a traumatic brain injury, broken facial bones, and other serious injuries. Louisiana State University is pushing back against a viral social media claim that says that a convicted rapist, Jesse Butler, plans to attend the school. LSU says they have no record of Butler in its admission system and no indication that he plans to enroll. Butler was convicted after pleading no contest to sexually assaulting two Stillwater High School students, but avoided prison after receiving a youthful offender status. His case was dismissed this week after he completed probation without violations. Meanwhile, a new district attorney for Payne and Logan County says he plans to ask federal authorities to review that case. A former Oklahoma Department of Human Services employee is now facing five felony embezzlement charges after investigators say he stole more than $2 million from a program that is supposed to help low-income Oklahomans pay utility bills. Prosecutors allege Casey Killian Latran created multiple fake utility companies between 2017 and 2023 to funnel state assistance money into bank accounts that he controlled. Investigators say one scheme alone brought in nearly $1.8 million, while another falsely posed as a rural water district. The Attorney General's office says it is continuing efforts to recover the missing money. Killian Latran is scheduled to be arraigned next week. An Oklahoma County man who suffered permanent brain damage after being brutally beaten inside the Oklahoma County Detention Center has reached a $1.75 million settlement with the county. John Alsett was arrested back in 2021 and attacked his cellmate, then, according to the lawsuit, assaulted a second time after he was placed in a cell near the same inmate. His attorney says Alstat now suffers from severe memory loss and requires a guardian to manage his affairs. County Commissioner Brian Mond says the settlement involves incidents from years ago and that conditions and safety at the jail have improved under the current leadership. A Canadian county judge says he expects to rule by the end of the week, and the legal battle between Sheriff Tommy Johnson III and the Oklahoma County Jail Trust over who is responsible for transporting inmates to and from the court. The dispute began after Johnson canceled an $800,000 contract and stopped transports, arguing the trust quit paying for the service. The trust maintains transporting inmates is the sheriff's legal duty, with or without a contract. After a hearing, hours of testimony on Tuesday, the judge is now reviewing state law before deciding several key motions that could shape how inmate transports are handled going forward. Well, Oklahoma County voters could decide this November whether to approve a new sales tax to help finish and operate the county's new jail. A citizen oversight board is recommending a 0.4-cent sales tax lasting 25 to 30 years. That would add about 40 cents to a $100 purchase and generate roughly $70 million per year to help close the funding gap for the new 1,800-bed jail while also covering operating costs. County commissioners are expected to consider putting that proposal on the November 3rd ballot during next week's meeting. The Moore City Council has unanimously approved an independent investigation into the city's animal welfare department following allegations of possible legal violations, a hostile work environment, and other concerns. The move comes after recent controversy surrounding the department and the resignation of the city's animal welfare superintendent. During Tuesday's meeting, residents called for greater transparency and accountability. Mayor Mark Hamm said the council is committed to finding the truth and restoring public confidence. City leaders will choose an outside law firm or investigative agency later on this month to conduct that review. Oklahoma's tax-free weekend starts today and it runs through Sunday, giving shoppers a chance to save on back-to-school clothing before classes begin. During the three-day sales tax holiday, clothing and footwear priced under $100 are exempt from state and local taxes, whether you shop in stores or online. But keep in mind, school supplies, athletic gear, and protective footwear are not included. State officials say it's a great opportunity for families to save a few bucks as students head back to the classroom. Well, a weekend kayaking trip turned into a disturbing discovery for two sisters on the North Canadian River in Pottawatomie County last weekend. The women say they noticed a strong odor before spotting what they first thought were animal bones. As they got closer, they realized it was human remains and immediately called 911. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office recovered the badly decomposed body from a remote stretch of the river. The medical examiner is now working to identify the victim and determine just how that person died. Coming up after the break, Pottawatomie County Sheriff Freeland Woods joins us with an update on that case. It is 78 degrees outside under partly cloudy skies, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Got some construction issues to deal with on this Friday morning. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th, plus on the Kilpatrick-Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
It's a double celebration of freedom. The American spirit meets the open road in 2026. We honor 250 years of our nation and 100 years of Route 66. Your voice for freedom is right here. Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Oklahoma, safety starts with you.
If you see something, say something with the free and anonymous Protect OK app. Whether it's a threat to one of our schools, a public safety concern, or a disturbing post on social media, your tip can help prevent crime and keep our schools and communities safe.
Download Protect OK today, because protecting Oklahoma is everyone's responsibility. Available free on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Funded by the Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
Congrats to Spain on being the 2026 World Cup champions. While the World Cup may be over, FanDuel's Every Goal Plays is still going. Bet on a match and get bonus bets for every goal scored in that match. More goals means more bonus bets, and all you have to do is turn on your token. From the opening whistle to the final kick, let there be goals on FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com to get started now. 21 and over, select state. Kansas, in affiliation with Kansas Star Casino. 18 and over, D.C., Kentucky, and Wyoming. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. In Connecticut, call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. In Massachusetts, visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. And listen to Orange Slices, sponsored by FanDuel Predicts, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
It is Eric Erickson, and I am live weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. I will take you through the news headlines and cover all the breaking news as it happens. I'll give you a fair and balanced analysis of what's actually going on in the world, what's true, and then I'll tell you what I think about it and take your phone calls as well at 877-973-7425. Listen every weekday 11 to 2 right here on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
Good morning and welcome back. Doesn't look like any relief from this heat anytime soon. Today we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine throughout the day. Maybe a few scattered showers this morning. Then we could see some thunderstorms towards the afternoon. High today about 99 degrees. Tonight, clear and humid with a low of 71. On Saturday, look for sunshine, hot, high of 102 degrees. Then on Sunday, much more of the same. Sunny and hot, 100 degrees for a high. It is 81 degrees outside right now under partly cloudy skies at 721.
This is First Responder Friday on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbach.
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
The new Freedom 96.9.
Well, the weekend kayaking trip ended with a gruesome discovery when two sisters found a badly decomposed body along the North Canadian River in Pottawatomie County last weekend. Investigators are now trying to identify the victim and determine exactly what happened. Sheriff Freeland Wood joins us live now. Good morning, Freeland. How are you, brother?
Good morning, sir. You're doing wonderful.
Good. It's always good having you on. Kind of take me back. What exactly happened and what led to this discovery?
About noon, a couple of kayakers called in about a body that they had found on the side of the bank of a river. And I'm sorry.
It's all right.
And they found them on the called in, and we responded. And at first, we had a time finding them because it was so far off the roadway. And we finally found a way to them, and we had to wade into the river to get to the scene.
Now, anytime something like this happens, and it doesn't happen very often, but anytime something like this happens, as you're getting to the scene, which, as you said, was very difficult to do because you're traversing a lot of very difficult terrain. But as you're going down and going to approach the body, your mind is going a million miles a minute in terms of, is this a homicide? It likely is. People don't just normally die in a river someplace. What does the area look like? How badly has the evidence been compromised, either through a combination of the rushing water or of the witnesses that found the remains? What type of missing persons cases are we currently working? So there's a lot going on through your mind, even as you're going up to the scene, right?
Yes, that sure is.
Kind of walk me through that a little bit.
Well, like I said, first of all, we had to get our investigators down there, and then, like I said, before getting to it, we ended up, fortunately, we have a relationship with the absentee Shawnee tribe, and they brought their ATVs down there. We were able to drive through the water and get to the scene, and from there, you know, we had to get the ME out there, and, you know, so we could get the remains out of there and get them back to the ME's office. So it was definitely a challenge. But we, after that, you know, we have to wait until we can find out who the person is, because there was no ID on them.
Yeah. And oftentimes, again, when you're dealing with water, you don't know if you're dealing with, is this my primary crime scene? Is this a secondary crime scene? How much potential evidence has been scattered by the water? There's a lot of things to try to take into consider here.
Right. That's for sure. And, We were blessed that the remains were intact. So now we're just trying to determine where he entered the water at, and the distance as far as, you know, or to find out if he might have fallen off the bank and down to where we found him.
Generally speaking, one of the first things that you'll do in a case like this is you'll look at your missing persons files, and you'll look at other things like, are there homeless encampments nearby where something like this happened? Kind of walk me through the process as you're waiting for an identification on this body. Kind of walk me through the process of the investigation.
Yes. Well, like I said, first of all, getting to them was difficult. Then after that, we had to try to backtrack to where different areas to see if where he might have entered the water at, or, you know, or where he may have fallen. And our investigators, you know, they ended up having to walk all the wood line to try to find trails to where he might have fallen in, or where, you know, at the where he was located. And they also, you know, we had to walk the banks to see maybe if there was anything else, any other evidence at that time. And it was very, very challenging. We even had drones up trying to see if there was any vehicles nearby.
And that kind of technology helps a lot. It's I don't think people fully understand just how much police agencies are using technology now to try to look for evidence. In this case, you'd mentioned, you know, you're trying to traverse different trails. It's much easier to traverse those trails if you've got an overhead view showing you exactly which way to go, which way to walk. Like you said, you're looking for vehicles that might be nearby, maybe looking for fishing equipment that might be nearby, something that might indicate what happened to this individual in the moments leading up to his death.
Yes, definitely. The drones, we've used drones for a while now, and it definitely has helped, you know, in our investigations, because you're right, you can't just, the woods are thick, and it's hard to see, so those drones are very important. The ATVs are important because, again, we wouldn't have been able to get the human remains out without them, because they had to, you know, they actually got us there by driving through the water, and from there, that helped the medical examiner get to the body where she could do her job.
And they're pretty thorough at the medical examiner's office, so unfortunately, with that level of thoroughness comes a certain amount of time. They're going to have to take their time in determining the cause of death and who this person is. So in that interim, what is your office doing? Are you kind of looking at it as it might be an accidental drowning, or are you looking at it as a potential homicide, or what are you kind of looking at?
Well, it's unfortunate, but we, you know, you obviously have to look at it as a possible homicide. I mean, definitely don't want to overlook that. Our investigator that's investigating it, she is doing a lot of, she's searching neighbors, and she's just looking to see if she can find anybody that, you know, that might be missing, you know, from nearby towns that might have, you know, that might be upriver, and see if there's any missing person reports.
When we watch TV, we see investigators on TV, a body is found, and within a half an hour, they quickly determine leads, figure out who's responsible, what exactly happened, and at the end of the show, everybody kind of laughs together as one great big happy group. That's not the reality of what happens. The reality is that oftentimes this takes a very, very long time to figure out what happened, who's responsible, if anybody at all is responsible, and it also takes a toll on your deputies, because seeing something like this, no matter how often you've seen it, you never really get used to seeing something like this.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, our guys do a lot of, unfortunately, work a lot of cases, not just like this, but unfortunately a lot of death scenes, and it does take the toll on them. You know, I came from Shawnee PD, and my job, I didn't see as many as I have. You know, I don't see those things like I do now because I'm at every scene. So it definitely does take a toll on us.
And as a result of that, you want answers. You start taking it personally.
Correct. I agree. Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, you want to get justice for the victim, and, you know, and also get a hold of the families and let them know, because, you know, they're still wondering where their loved one's at.
Yep, and everybody needs some closure. Sheriff Freeland
right.
Wood with the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on with us and giving us some insight into this case, and I hope you get some answers pretty quickly.
No, thank you very much, and I'll let you know what we find out.
I appreciate you. You take care, my friend. We've still got a whole lot more we want to talk about this morning. A domestic disturbance turns into a police chase. An officer-involved shooting and an hour-long standoff in northeast Oklahoma City. We'll give you the latest details on that. Plus, we're going to be talking a bit about the jail. Would you support a tax for the jail? Looks like that's going to be on the agenda very quickly. And your dad joke of the day coming up. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
I'm John Summers. President Trump signed new executive orders yesterday to restrict birthright citizenship and ban birth tourism. A Senate committee voted Thursday to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress after he invoked the Fifth Amendment 111 times last week. Firefighters battling three destructive ignitions in the Spokane, Washington area say they're making steady progress, aided by cooler weather. Morgan Chesky reports the flames are up to 13% contained.
It's more or less a race to contain for two key reasons. The National Weather Service says the next 2 days in this area could bring temperatures approaching 100 degrees. And on Saturday, there could be a return of some gusty winds.
President Trump reportedly urged donors to support Vice President J.D. Vance in the 2028 presidential election. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. One of the most common things insurance companies say after a car wreck is, just wasn't much damage to the vehicles, so you couldn't have possibly been hurt. We've litigated that issue, and here's the truth. Cars and human bodies do not absorb forces the same way. We've seen people walk away from crashes where the bumper didn't look terrible, only to later deal with neck pain, back pain, headaches, injections, and even surgery. Insurance companies love photos of the car. We focus on the person in the car. If you were hurt in a wreck and the insurance company is calling it minor, don't let them define your injury. For a free consultation, call us at McIntyre Law, 405-777-7000. If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom Local Coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. An Oklahoma City man faces multiple charges after an alleged assault in Midtown, with police reporting the victim was walking near Northwest 10th and Western when Barry Ware began shouting racial remarks before approaching him. Investigators say Ware then punched the victim several times, leaving visible swelling and redness near the eye. Officers used surveillance and the department's real-time information center to help verify the incident. Ware was arrested on multiple complaints. Oklahomans planning to vote by absentee ballot in the August 25th election are running out of time to apply. Election officials say absentee ballot requests must be submitted by 5 p.m. August 10th. No specific reason is required to vote absentee in Oklahoma, and applications can be completed online through the Oklahoma Voter Portal or through county election boards. The Oklahoma Insurance Department has announced Insurance Day 2026, scheduled to be held December 9th in Oklahoma City. The event will bring together insurance leaders, regulators, and industry experts to discuss key issues facing the industry. Topics will include innovation, consumer protection, and emerging trends. Registration is open now. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Let's be honest. Medicare can get complicated fast. Too many plans, too many opinions, not enough straight answers. That's where Health 65 and Edmund comes in. We will give you a clear, straightforward guidance so you can understand your options and choose what works best for you. No runarounds, no pressure, just help when and where you need it. Hi, I'm Philip Beard. Give me a call today or visit health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be hot with a mix of clouds and sunshine. There is a chance of a thunderstorm in some areas during the morning, followed by more intense thunderstorms later in the afternoon. These slow-moving storms may result in heavy rainfall and possible flooding. The temperature will reach a high of 99. Tonight will be mostly clear and humid with a low of 71. Tomorrow is expected to be sunny and hot with some breeziness in the afternoon. The high will reach 102. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Catarina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Well, good morning and welcome back. It's 81 degrees outside under mostly sunny skies at 736. That means time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, I hear that orthodontists are going on strike now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, better brace yourself.
I get it. Straight to the point.
So BK McKenzie sent us a couple of them. I'll share one with you. He says, I don't drink or do drugs. At my age, I get the exact same effect just by standing up.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's not a joke. No, it's true. Yeah. I genuinely feel this. Yeah. And please keep sending us your jokes. We love to hear them because, frankly, mine aren't very funny. Let's check out those Freedom First News morning headlines on Freedom 96.9. An Oklahoma City police chase ended with an officer-involved shooting in an hour-long standoff on Thursday night in northeast Oklahoma City. Police say officers responded to a domestic disturbance near Britain and Westminster after a man reportedly pulled a gun. Investigators say the suspect then tried to run over officers before leading them on a chase that ended when he crashed into a building. Officers fired as he got out of the vehicle, but the suspect climbed back into the vehicle and refused to come out. After about an hour of negotiations, he surrendered peacefully. He is being hospitalized right now with non-life-threatening injuries. No officers were hurt, and the investigation remains ongoing. Authorities say a body found in Love County Field has been identified as a missing man from Dallas. Firefighters made the discovery while responding to a grass fire near Highway 32 last week. Investigators identified the victim through his tattoos, and the medical examiner determined he had been shot four times in the chest before his body was burned. Detectives do not believe that he was killed where his body was found. The Love County Sheriff's Office is now working with the Dallas Police Homicide Unit to determine who is responsible and where the killing actually took place. Three people are recovering after a stabbing in Southwest Oklahoma City apartment complex early Thursday morning. Police say officers responded to the complex near Southwest 59th Street and May at just after midnight, and that's where they found three people suffering from stab wounds. Investigators say the violence stemmed from a domestic dispute, though they have not released any additional details about what led up to the attack. All three victims were taken to area hospitals, and their conditions have not yet been released. Police have not announced any arrests just yet, and the investigation does remain active. A 63-year-old man is in the Oklahoma County Jail after police say he stabbed another man during an argument in northeast Oklahoma City. Officers were called to a home near Northeast 23rd and Creston, where they found a 39-year-old man suffering from a life-threatening stab wound to the abdomen. The victim did survive after emergency surgery. Detectives say witness statements and surveillance technology helped to identify the suspect, who reportedly has a criminal history in both Illinois and Nevada. He was arrested on complaints of felony assault and maiming, while investigators continue building their case. Two Ingalls firefighters remain in critical condition this morning after their fire truck rolled several times during a crash in Payne County. Investigators say the fully loaded tanker saw a flat tire happening on the front right side of the truck while it was traveling on Highway 51, sending that truck off the road, down an embankment, and into a wooded area. Both firefighters became trapped inside. One was rescued by passing Good Samaritans. The other was freed by Stillwater Fire Department. Both were taken to the Tulsa Trauma Center, where they were awake and alert when they left the scene. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol continues to investigate the crash. Two Oklahoma men were killed in a fiery crash involving a horse trailer and a semi on the Turner Turnpike near Sepulpa. Troopers say 52-year-old Jamie Earp and his 22-year-old son Tucker were returning home from the All-Star Team Roping Finals at the Lazy E when their pickup truck left the roadway and slammed into a semi parked on the shoulder. Both vehicles caught fire, killing both father and son. At least one horse died in the fire, although a passing Good Samaritan was able to rescue several others from the trailer. The semi-trailer driver was injured, and the Oklahoma Highway Patrol is investigating. Meanwhile, Oklahoma Highway Patrol is searching for a driver involved in a deadly hit-and-run that killed a Stillwater woman in Norman. Troopers say 54-year-old LaDonna Marcel Hillier was crossing the southbound lanes of I-35 near South Robinson when she was struck by a vehicle. She died at the scene. Investigators have not yet identified the vehicle or the driver involved and are asking anyone who may have witnessed the crash or has information to contact Oklahoma Highway Patrol. A southern Oklahoma rancher who once competed on a television show, The Ultimate Cowboy Showdown, is headed to prison after admitting to a brutal attack on an elderly Kiowa County man. Ethan Treadwell was sentenced to 25 years after pleading guilty to maiming and must serve at least 10 years behind bars. Prosecutors say the attack stemmed from an argument over money on a rural Kiowa County road. The 73-year-old victim suffered a traumatic brain injury, broken facial bones, and serious other injuries during the assault. Louisiana State University is pushing back against viral social media claims that convicted rapist Jesse Butler plans to attend their school. LSU says it has no record of Butler in its admission systems and no indication that he plans to enroll. Butler pleaded no contest to sexually assaulting two Stillwater High School students, but avoided prison time after receiving youthful offender status. His case was dismissed this week after he completed probation without violations. Meanwhile, the newly elected district attorney for Payne and Logan County says he intends to ask federal authorities to review the case. A former Oklahoma Department of Human Services employee is now facing five felony embezzlement charges after investigators say he stole more than $2 million from a utility assistance program for low-income Oklahomans. Prosecutors allege Casey Killian Latran created fake utility companies over several years to funnel state assistance money into bank accounts that he controlled. Investigators say one scheme alone generated nearly $1.8 million. The Attorney General's office says it continues working to recover the stolen money. Killian Latran is expected back in court for arraignment later on next week. An Oklahoma County man who suffered permanent brain injuries after being beaten inside the Oklahoma County Detention Center has reached a $1.75 million settlement with the county. Johnny Allstadt was jailed in 2021 and was brutally attacked by his cellmate. According to the lawsuit, he was later assaulted again after being placed back near the same inmate. His attorney says Allstadt now suffers severe memory loss and requires a guardian to manage his affairs. County Commissioner Brian Mond says the settlement addresses events from several years ago and that the conditions at the jail have since improved. A Canadian county judge says he expects to rule by the end of the week in the legal battle over who's responsible for transporting inmates between the county jail and the courthouse. Sheriff Tommy Johnson III stopped providing transports after canceling an $800,000 contract, arguing the jail trust stopped paying for the service. The jail trust insists that transporting inmates is the sheriff's legal responsibility, contract or not. After hearing hours of testimony this week, the judge reviewed state law before ruling on several key motions that could determine how inmate transports are handled going forward. Oklahoma County voters, meanwhile, could decide this November whether to approve a new sales tax to help to pay for the county jail. A Citizens Oversight Board is recommending a 0.4 cent sales tax lasting between 25 and 30 years. Supporters say that it would add about 40 cents to a $100 purchase while generating roughly $70 million annually to help build and operate the proposed 1,800-bed jail. County commissioners are expected to decide next week whether to place that measure on the November ballot. The Moore City Council has unanimously approved an independent investigation into the city's animal welfare department. The decision follows allegations involving possible legal violations, a hostile work environment, and other concerns, along with recent resignation of the department's superintendent. Residents packed on Tuesday night's meeting, calling for more transparency and accountability. Mayor Mark Hamm says the city is committed to uncovering the facts and restoring public confidence. Council members are expected to select an outside law firm or investigative agency later on this month. Oklahoma's tax-free weekend is underway, giving families a chance to save money before school starts. Through Sunday, clothing and footwear priced under $100 are exempt from state and local sales tax, whether purchased in stores or online. However, school supplies, athletic equipment, and protective footwear do not qualify for the tax break. State officials encourage shoppers to take advantage of the annual sales tax holiday as students prepare to head back to the classroom. Oklahoma's new bell-to-bell no-cell law is being called a success after the first year in the classroom. Schools across the state report fewer distractions, fewer disciplinary problems, and more face-to-face interaction among students. Now lawmakers and educators are turning their attention to another issue, screen time on school-issued laptops and tablets. While most agree that technology has an important place in education, many say that it should also support learning rather than replace traditional classroom instruction. Governor Kevin Stitt has named State Superintendent Lindell Fields as Oklahoma's next Secretary of Education, giving him the state's two highest education leadership positions. Fields, who was appointed superintendent after Ryan Walters resigned, will now also serve as the governor's chief education advisor while continuing to lead the Department of Education through January. Stitt says the move will help to maintain momentum on education reforms, while Fields says his focus remains on improving student achievement and strengthening Oklahoma's schools. A federal judge is now considering whether Oklahoma must allow what would become the nation's first publicly funded religious Jewish charter school. Ben Gamla Jewish Charter School sued after the statewide charter school board denied its application, citing an earlier Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling involving a Catholic charter school. Supporters argue the denial violates religious freedom, while opponents say taxpayer-funded charter schools must remain non-sectarian. Whether the judge decides, both sides can expect the case to eventually return to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, education and business leaders from across Oklahoma have gathered this week to discuss how improving schools can strengthen the state's workforce. Speaking at the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Education and Workforce event, the State Superintendent Lindell Fields and other leaders stressed the importance of stronger partnerships between schools, businesses, and parents. The conversation comes as Oklahoma continues to rank near the bottom of nationally in education, and voters are preparing to elect a new governor and state superintendent later on this year. Students returning to Oklahoma City Public Schools next week will find new career training opportunities waiting for them. Six high schools now feature voter-funded college and career centers designed to prepare students for college, military service, or for the workforce. At John Marshall High School, students can train with aviation flight simulators, earn certified nursing assistant credentials through MetroTech, or begin preparing for careers in education. District leaders say the goal is to connect students with high-demand careers before they graduate. Well, new rankings from Allstate show both Oklahoma City and Tulsa are among the nation's safer cities for drivers, but Tulsa edged out Oklahoma City this year. Tulsa ranked 51st on the insurance company's safest drivers list after climbing 19 spots, while Oklahoma City came in at number 64. The rankings are based on how often drivers are involved in crashes and how long the average driver goes between collisions. Even so, both Oklahoma cities ranked ahead of many larger metropolitan areas across the country. Well, like we mentioned, Oklahoma County voters will soon be asked to approve a new sales tax to help finish and operate the county's new jail. A Citizens Oversight Board is recommending a 0.4 cent sales tax that would last between 25 and 30 years and raise about $70 million annually. The proposal would add roughly 40 cents to a $100 purchase and help to cover the estimated $625 million cost of a new 1,800-bed jail, along with future operating expenses. Supporters say the plan also includes stronger financial oversight and a reserve fund for future maintenance. County commissioners will consider whether to place the measure on the November 3rd ballot in the next week's meeting. I reluctantly, and I stress reluctantly, am supporting this measure, but the devil is really in the details here. I want to see certain measures put into place before I would fully back it. We need to have a sales tax in place. Oklahoma County is the only county in the entire state that doesn't have a dedicated law enforcement tax. It needs to be done because there's no other way to pay the jail. That's just the reality of it. But I also want to see our county leaders make some changes before that, at least a good faith effort. So what's your take on it, and what would it take to get your support on this? We want to hear from you at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServiceProOKC.com. Got some construction issues to deal with on this Friday morning. Bridge work, May and Northwest Expressway eastbound, I-44 at Klassen and I-44 at Southwest 74th, plus on the Kilpatrick Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
Hello, this is Michael McGuire with McGuire Capital. I want to personally invite you to tune in to my show each and every Saturday. It's called The Bull and Bear Show. It starts at 10 a.m. and runs to 1 p.m. You'll get to know me each and every week. And more importantly, when the time's right for you, we'll set a one-on-one meeting and I'm going to get to know you, your family, and your retirement goals. Together, you and I will lock arms and I'll get you to and through retirement. Tune in starting at 10 a.m. Saturday on Freedom 96.
Lace up your running shoes and join the Oklahoma City Fire Department for the 13th annual Project Life 5K on Saturday, August 22nd at the Devon Lawn and the Myriad Gardens. Every registration helps support Project Life programs, including providing free bicycle helmets to children through the Ride Safe program. Whether you run, walk, or cheer from the sidelines, you'll be making a difference in our community. Register today at runsignup.com and search Project Life 5K. We'll see you on August 22nd. Register today at runsignup.com.
Need custom shirts, uniforms, embroidery, or promotional products fast? Then call S&S Textiles today. Local businesses, schools, teams, and first responders have trusted S&S Textiles since 1972 for quality screen printing, embroidery, team uniforms, police, fire, and EMS apparel. Get your order started now and make your brand stand out. Visit sstextilesinc.com. Call 405-632-9928 or stop by 2400 Southwestern Avenue. S&S Textiles, quality service and fast turnaround you can count on.
It's Ricky with Cars for You at 11601 Northeast 10th Street in Choctaw, next to Nakoma Park Elementary School. We're a family-owned company. We offer oil changes, brake work, AC work, tune-ups, and more. We also offer a guarantee all work for 1 year. Our mechanics have 35 years of experience. Call Cars for You and ask for Ricky at 405-600-8332. Or stop by at 11601 Northeast 10th Street in Choctaw. Enter to win a free oil change by calling Ricky at Cars for You at 405-600-8332. Online at carsforyou.shop.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m. You are being psyoped by Russia. You are being psyoped by Qatar. You are being psyoped by Iran. It is a very serious thing to try to divide the West because the West is a superpower, the United States in particular. We are the baddest-ass kids on the block.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. 82 degrees outside right now under partly sunny skies. It's going to be a hot few days outside. We'll look for a mix of clouds and sunshine throughout the day today. Thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Could be pretty heavy at times. It's going to be a hot one, too, with a high temperature of 99 degrees. Tonight, look for clear skies, humid, low of 71 degrees. On Saturday, sunny. If you like it hot, you're going to like Saturday. High of 102 degrees. Then on Sunday, sunny and hot, high of 100 degrees. We were just kind of looking at the future forecast a little bit, too, and it looks like the next week will be in triple digits. So brace yourself for that one. Well, kind of like we mentioned, the Oklahoma County voters could soon be asked to approve a new sales tax to help finish and operate the county's new jail. And that's an important distinction right there, because the previous jail, when it was built without an operating budget being built into it. So it's kind of like, yeah, let's build this thing, and then later on we'll figure out exactly how to pay for it. And when voters were asked to approve the new county jail and did so for $260 million, it was also with the design that there's not going to be any mechanism built into it to fund the jail on day-to-day operations. So it's, let's build the thing, but let's not worry about repairs to it. Let's not worry about hiring staff and paying them appropriately. Let's not worry about all of these other things that come into building a new jail. So the Citizens Oversight Board is now recommending a 0.4 cent sales tax that would last 25 to 30 years and would raise roughly $70 million annually. So the proposal would mean roughly 40 cents for every $100 purchase to help cover the cost of the estimated $835 million jail. We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Reluctantly, I'm okay with a new tax. We need to have it. The reality is this jail is nothing but problems. Even in today's newscast, we were talking about how one inmate got beaten up pretty bad and got $1.75 million settlement as a result of that. So we're getting lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, and it's nickeling and diming us to death. Just a couple weeks ago, we had three of the four elevators didn't work, and they had to take some pieces from some of them to make the others work again. This is no way to operate a jail. So it's a 13-story high jail. People have asked me in the past, why not just repair the jail that we've got? The reality is you can't. It was built terribly from the get-go, and it's only gotten worse. You can't have a 13-floor facility, especially if you've got 1,500, 1,800 beds. If you've got to move people out of there quickly, if there's some kind of an emergency, if there's some kind of a fire, you can't get people out of there. People are going to die. That place is a death trap. What you need is a one, maybe maximum two-story facility, spoken hub, where you've got the center of it being your administrative staff, and then different wings. So one wing for the very dangerous people, one wing for the less dangerous people, that kind of a thing. One wing for mental health. County commissioners are telling us it's going to cost $835 million for this thing. Now, voters, myself included, backed a plan for $260 million just a few years ago. County commissioners are saying that increase is because of inflation. I'm calling BS on that. There's no way we're seeing 400% inflation increase in just a few years. So what I'd like to see happen is, yes, we've got to have the dedicated sales tax. Oklahoma County is the only county in the entire state that doesn't have a dedicated sales tax for public safety. It needs to happen. But I also want to see county commissioners go back to the drawing board. I want to see what this $835 million is going to be getting us. $835 million, let's put that in perspective just quickly. $835 million for a new jail when Devon Tower only costs $700 million to build. So you're telling me this jail is going to cost $135 million more than Devon Tower? And granted, it's going to be a nice facility, 1,800 bed, but do we really need that right now? Or do we need a facility on a large chunk of land where we can expand it as the county continues to grow? And that would be my preference. That's what I would like to see. So before I'm willing to pay any kind of a tax, and granted, 40 cents on a $100 purchase isn't a ton of money. For most of us, it's not going to make us or break us. But for most of us, it's also the principle of the thing. We feel as though we were misled about the initial cost of what the new jail would be. Again, $260 million inflated now to $835 million. We need you to be honest with us. And we need you to make a good faith effort to produce a jail that doesn't cost $835 million. And if it really does cost $835 million, we need to know exactly what we're getting for our buck. So voters have already decided they've wanted a new jail. There's no disputing that. We all understand the importance of a new jail. We approved $260 million bond in 2022. The question now isn't whether to build a new jail. It's how to finish it and then operate it. And how do you design a jail for $260 million in 22 without putting in a funding mechanism in the first place to pay for repairs, to pay for staffing? To me, that shows a lack of real commitment to getting the job done and getting it done right. I would rather that our politicians were honest with us up front and said, look, this is going to be the real cost, rather than say, hey, we need $260 million now, and then a few years later saying, oh yeah, by the way, we need another $600 million. You guys cool with that? No, we're not cool with it. The current jail has been a problem for years and years now. It's overcrowded. It's outdated. It's expensive to maintain. A lot of the parts to maintain it, like we talked about the elevator, just simply don't exist anymore. And many argue that continuing to patch the old jail is only going to cost more over time. And if you've ever had an old Chevy truck, you know exactly what that feels like. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning on Freedom's First News, with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.